going to talk about Netflix today. And specifically, I am going to talk a little bit about what Netflix is in terms of Netflix theory. Tell you a couple of anecdotes about Netflix theory, just to give you an image how it all developed. And briefly talk about a couple of examples on why do we want or need to use Netflix in humanities. Then go through a couple of very basic but useful terms, measures and tools that you might need to start building and analyzing your own network. And then talk a little bit about my own research on semantic network based on Japanese time and space connected associations. So, what is a network? In network theory, definitions and terms vary slightly from field to field, but very simple definition of network is it's just a set of paired joints connected by a set of links. That's it. Joints are usually referred to as vertices or nodes. And lines are usually called edges. So how did I personally end up doing network analysis? I am second year PhD student, and my dissertation topic is time and space concepts in Japanese language worldview. And the main purpose was description and analysis of models of these concepts and how they are expressed in the language. So at the very beginning of my research, I thought, well, I'm working with concepts. I'm trying to build their models. I have a lot of experimental material. What can I do to make it understandable for myself in the first place? So I thought about visualization. And this is what happened. Cool, isn't it? But then I realized that I actually have to analyze it. And this is where it all started. So I thought, what if I can actually know something about meaning of words using network? What if the connections between my words in this network can tell me something about nuances of meanings of particular words, or maybe strength of connections might tell me something about semantic relations of words, or some additional information for disambiguation of synonyms. Finally, I'm working with a bit philosophical structures as concepts. So maybe the communities in this network might tell me something about how Japanese native speakers categorize time and space. So at the moment, I can tell you that I'm still on my way to analyze, to make my conclusions about all these things. But with network analysis, I was given some very useful hints. And I will tell you about them a little bit later in this talk. Now let's get back to network theory. So network theory, as a lot of wonderful things in this world, started by accident. In 1735, young mathematician Leonhard Euler, just for fun, decided to solve a popular, at the moment, so-called Bridges of Königsberg problem. And it goes like this. Could a pedestrian walk around old town of Königsberg, crossing each of its bridges only once? And this is what he did. He took only the relevant data. He represented parts of the city as points and bridges connecting them as links. And he got the first graph or network in history of our science. And if you have a good look at this visualization B, you will actually realize that Euler proved that this problem is unsolvable. Okay. What's next? I also want to tell you a couple of words about the most famous experiment done with usage of network analysis. I think a lot of you are familiar with urban legend of 6 degrees of separation, that all people in the world are separated by only 5 acquaintances. And the science that lied under this, which gave birth to this urban legend, is an experiment of Stanley Milgram conducted in the 60s. And its purpose was to understand a typical distance between people in social network. So, as a result of his experiment, he realized that in social network, typical distance between two random people is an average 5.9. I don't want to go into very details about how he did it, how he proved that, but I want to explain why I'm talking about this particular experiment. Because it actually shocked a lot of people. It made a lot of people excited. It made a lot of people try to repeat his experiment, to understand how it is possible that two random people are separated only with 6 steps. And actually, I think after popularization of his results, network theory started to be used in a variety of different fields, including social sciences and humanities. And it happened because people just realized how many interesting things about our world as a system we can understand using network. So, yeah, who knows how many steps are dividing us from this little robot. And what exactly can we understand using network? In your field, you can look at nature of individual components of some particular system you are investigating, connections or interactions within this system, and patterns of connections. But in what kind of research currently network analysis is used? It is used quite intensively with citation and collaboration networks, with acquaintances networks, in social networks analysis, in linguistics with semantic networks or associative networks. And when people are investigating online behavior or communication patterns. So what do we have to know to do a basic network analysis? Very simple thing. Network can be directed or undirected. So if you have a structure of a network which allows you to assign some direction to every connection in your network, well, then you are dealing with a directed network. Otherwise, your network is undirected. So I hope you can see that orange one is directed and blue one is undirected. Then, you probably want to know something about how single nodes or joints are important in your network. So then you have to know something about degree of your nodes. So degree is a number of connection of your node. So please have a look at this small example network. And think a little bit, for example, about node C. How well is it connected? What is the number of its connections? So let's have a look. So you can see a table with the numbers for degrees for our small network. And you can see how it is visualized. So the higher the degree of your node, the more important it is, the bigger it looks on your visualization. Okay, what's next? We also have directed networks. For directed networks, you can split your degree measure for every node. So for every node, you have a number of incoming connections, which is called in degree, and number of outgoing connections, which is called out degree. So again, have a look at example network and think about node C. And oops, this is what we have. So what happens? C, it is connected, it has incoming connections from nodes A and B. So its in degree is 2, accordingly. And it is higher than other nodes in this network, so it looks bigger, a little bit. But with out degree, it has only one outgoing connection. But A in that network has 2. So it is bigger and its out degree is higher in this particular network. Okay. Also, you can have a weighted network. So, for example, if you have some number of stimuli and you have a number of responses and you have human respondents, so you will have an additional measure of frequency of responses. So you can assign your frequency of responses to your connections as an additional measure. So for example, if you have large number of participants who answered to a particular stimuli with a particular response, the connection between these two items will be stronger, or will be quite strong. So as an amount, it will be represented as weight of its connection. So this is how it looks with our example network. On your left, you can see a visualization of a small weighted network. I just added random set of weights to our example network. And when you visualize it, weight is shown with the width of your edge. So, but what happens with degree for weighted network? It's not really that different from unweighted one. So for undirected weighted networks, degree is just a sum of weights of its connections. So when we calculate it, it would look something like this. Again, our C node is quite well connected with quite high weighted degree. Okay, but we also can have weighted directed network. And again, we have to split the measure into two for incoming and outgoing connections. So weighted in degree would be a sum of weights of incoming connections, and weighted out degree would be, in this case, sum of weights of outgoing connections. Okay. And this is how it looks. Okay. These were the weights and degrees. Now, these two things we have to know to think about the structure of closest connection of some particular node. So, distance is the shortest path from one node to the other. Yeah. And neighbors, it's quite logical. That's just a node connected by one single edge. So this is how they are usually visualized. You can see distance from A to D in gold and neighbors of A highlighted in blue. Then, when you want to have a quick look at the larger structure of your network, you have to be familiar with these two measures: average path length and diameter. Diameter? Sorry, not native speaker. And average path length is the average of distances between all pairs in the network, of all pairs of nodes in the network. And my favorite one, diameter, is the maximum path length in the network. Okay. Then, we've talked about degrees, right? This number of measures are made to analyze which nodes are particularly important in the network. Don't worry, I will send you the slides, and there are a lot of tools that will calculate everything for you. But we have to know how it works in general. So, degree centrality. This is simple. I've talked about degree. So degree centrality is simply a degree measure of a node. Eigenvector centrality is a natural extension of degree centrality. So it's kind of, I find it logical. If your neighbors are somehow important, it makes you important yourself. So, in undirected networks, eigenvector centrality is proportional to the sum of centralities of nodes neighbors. And in directed networks, it's proportional to the sum of centralities of the nodes pointing to the node. Then there are two measures between a centrality and closest centrality. They are based on a slightly different logic. They are good for networks when you have some kind of information flow. And important nodes have to have good access to this information. So between a centrality is just an extent to which a node lies on paths between other nodes in the network. And closeness centrality is mean distance from a node to other nodes in the network. So these two measures, well, might be particularly good when you are investigating rumor spreading network to understand who in your network is networking the most. Okay. Let's think about the structure of connections. We need to know something about how our nodes are interconnected with each other and what kind of communities they form. So, well, clustering coefficient or local clustering coefficient is simply a probability of closest neighbors of a node being closest neighbors themselves. And clustering, global clustering coefficient is an extension of a local one to the scale of the whole network. Average is just an average of local clustering coefficients. And then this one is little bit mythological measure. Nobody can explain how it works properly, but I will try. When you want to see a proper division of your network into communities, you would use one of modularity algorithms. So basically, modularity is value used to evaluate if your division into communities is good. And the principle is that if you have more connections within community, or large number of connections within community, and smaller number of connections between communities, then it is divided into communities properly. So, there are a lot of tools which can simplify our lives out there, but I'm using these two. It's simple, they are very easy to use with Japanese. What can I tell about them? Gephi or Jeffy, people pronounce it in different ways. It's very good for visualization and analysis of middle-sized networks. By middle-sized here, I mean up to 6 million nodes. RStudio is not a visualization tool in any way. It might be good to visualize small networks, couple of hundreds of nodes, but it's great when you analyze a big scaled network, or a small one. So, very quickly, when you prepare your data, you will have two spreadsheets separate for your nodes with, for example, labels, if you need labels, and for edges with connections, and if you have weights, with weights. These are the formats which you can use for Jeffy and RStudio. For example, I've uploaded my data in Gephi, and this mess I got when I just uploaded it. But don't worry, you put some nice layout of your choice. You add some partitions, colors, and you get a quite nice picture. So it's simple. You can do it in the next hour. But, well, let's get back a little bit to my work. What kind of data did I use? I conducted an experiment last year. It was a free word association experiment. It is called free word association experiment because you don't give a lot of limitations to your participants. You just give them a set of words and tell them, please write down or type down the first words that came to your mind in association with my stimuli set. And I had 50 stimuli words connected with time and space semantically and 10 fillers not connected to time and space, just to get them a little bit distracted from all this time and space topic. As a result, I get 4,097 tokens of first non-foreign single word responses. And when I prepared my stimuli set, I focused on two things. I wanted a variety of frequencies and a variety of semantic relations. So I used four main sources. Frequency dictionary of Japanese, then I got synonyms, close synonyms for my stimuli set from Japanese version of WordNet. And I also used two association dictionaries to get hyponyms, hypernyms, and antonyms for my set. And this is what I got. This is a rough, I'm sorry, it's a really rough English translation of my stimuli set. So I hope you can see something there. But I think you can see that there are obviously some synonyms like two places on the top or two once houses on the right and so on and so forth. For this experiment, it's actually the first stage of a bigger ongoing experiment, I managed to recruit Japanese native speaking participants of two main age groups. The first group in their 20s and the second group from their late 40s to early 70s. This choice of division in different age groups was made because I believe that age actually affects the way we think about the world, the way we perceive it, and the way we build our associations with it. And the majority of my participants was from the Kanto area, its area around Tokyo and inside Tokyo, which can tell us that my results are, well, quite a good set of standard Japanese, but the varieties are not included. So, this is what happens when you run the basic statistics in, for example, Gephi. Well, from the first sight, it looks like it doesn't really make sense. But if you think a little bit about it, what can we say about my network? Well, directed and weighted. I hope we now all know what does it mean. Then the number of nodes, the number of ages. Degrees, you've talked about degrees today. So average path length, tell us that actually, we are still talking about small world because it's four. Four is even less than six. Then network diameter says that, okay, network is not very big. And I think even without knowing the terms, you all can say something about this measure, which makes me a bit sad, but hopeful that I will change it with some new results. Let's have a closer look at what happens with my particular network when I use in-degree and weighted-in-degree centralities measures. So these are the highest, these are the responses with highest in-degree and weighted-in-degree in my network. And you can see that these two visualizations are different. Why is it so? So in this particular case, in-degree shows how well my associative responses are connected within the whole network. And weighted in-degree shows more how strongly they might be connected with some particular words. So, for example, we have some noticeable similarities. We have time, jikan, and space, kukan, quite visual at both pictures, which, as we know, means that they have quite high centralities in both cases. So, if I get to my data and have a look at it, I see that, I see that both of them are connected very well to a lot of words in the stimuli set. And at the same time, both of them have very close synonyms, which triggered them as answers very frequently. So you can see that even at this picture, that we have time and time again. And we have space and space again. So these are the synonyms that affected weighted in degree. Okay, but there are also some differences. Well, actually, a lot of differences. I just want to focus on a couple of them. Can you see this like? I hope you can see. Or if you can't see, just believe me that it's there. So it was a big surprise for me. You give people words like time, place, and you give your like. And if I go back to the data, I actually understand that like, well, frequencies are not that high, but like is connected with five words from temporal stimuli and five words from spatial stimuli. Okay, one case is easy. One case is a clear syntagmatic connection set expression. But other cases, well, it's makes me assume that these particular words which triggered this response have whether some positive connotation as a word, or they are likable in terms of a real life equivalent of this word, of this stimuli word. For example, as home, people tend to like their home. Okay, but what happens here? We have sun for seasons, for example, which are not visual here, but they're boring. I looked into them and they're boring. They're just very close synonyms to the original, to the words in the original stimuli set. But I was hoping for a bigger visualization. But you have to believe me that here, we have a tiny, small dream. Dream. This also was quite a surprise for me when I saw it in my weighted in degree centralities top 50 for my network.
dream?
Well, actually, it is very strongly connected with one of two synonyms I had in my set. I had two words with roughly translated into English as one's home. And one was very frequently associated with dream, and the other one wasn't. Well, it might mean that the one which was associated with a dream is perceived more like a concept, like something that I imagine when I want to buy or build or think of my own home. But the other one is a physical particular place which I go back in the evening. Okay.
Wow.
At my tiny computer, it looks absolutely different. So you see that it's eigenvector centrality. And it gives a little bit different picture about the importance of the nodes in the network. So for this network, nodes with high eigenvector centrality are not the nodes with high frequencies, but the nodes which have a number of incoming connections from different words and stimuli set. So, which can be interpreted as a word which represent interceptions in perception of stimuli set. So, for example, think about it for a second. What word can be the same? What word can be connected with both space, the most abstract space, and day off?
I'm really sorry for this one.
So, space and day off, it also was a little bit of a surprise for me. It is both connected with my or myself. So it's kind of a hint that in the perception of native Japanese speakers, we can say that space could be perceived like something you can own, and day off as a time can be understood or perceived as something that you have for your own, like your own time, your own space. Okay, and the last one. These are the communities that I found in my network using one of the modularity algorithms. Okay. Looks interesting at a big screen. And it gives us an idea that spatial associations in this network might be divided in the manner from abstract space to very concrete ones, like depth, apartment block, or house. At the same time, in memory domain, in time domain, we have an absolutely different picture. We have memory time prevailing over abstract time, and we have a very high accent on light and darkness when we are talking about community, which includes a daily routine or daily schedule. And also, which surprising fact about this one was, if you can see work and experience on the bottom. So I can't jump to conclusions at this stage, but it also kind of gives me a clue that working routine is a very important thing in time and space perception in modern Japanese culture. I hope I can extend it to culture. Anyway, well, it needs a little bit more of investigation. So today we talked about network theory. I hope now all we know a little bit more about some basic and important terms such as degree centralities, clustering and modularity. I talked about my associative network, that it can show some semantic features of words, some strength of semantic relations, and might be helpful with disambiguation of closed synonyms, and communities, analysis of communities in the network might reveal the way native speakers categorize the world. So I hope now you are closer to be able to build and analyze your own network. Thank you.